your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, we are going to be taking a little step away from the markets and talking about this economic concept that is getting thrown around quite a bit. I've chatted about it a fair bit on the show, especially on some daily editorials, but now I'm getting some concepts from Nicholas Pardini, the managing partner of the Davos Investment Group. Also, he writes the Davos Platinum Research. That's his research forum. Nick, what we're talking about here is stagflation. If you look at the definition of stagflation, it essentially is summarized as slow economic growth with relatively high unemployment and a rise in prices or inflation. Let's kick it off with how you define stagflation.
Yeah, I think unemployment really has nothing to do with stagflation. You can have full employment and have stagflation. I mean, you've seen that in several rapidly growing economies. And basically, my definition for stagflation is when cost of living goes up faster than real GDP growth.
Which I think you can argue has been happening in the U.S. almost throughout this overall recovery. We've been seeing slow economic growth, but prices the consumers pay, and I know even though the way the Fed measures inflation, that's a bit different than what actual people pay, I'm sure you're going to get many average individuals agreeing with you that inflation has been far outpacing economic growth.
Yeah, I mean, I run my own internal inflation models, and based off of those, we've been in stagflation arguably since the year 2000, with the exception of maybe like the 2007 to 2010 period. But if you use the Fed, like the standard government measures of inflation, it's probably been stagflation for about five of the last 10 years. Like 2017 and 18 weren't really stagflationary because you had rates going up to keep inflation in check and real GDP had improved. But I think it's going to start to come back again in 2019.
So where do you see inflation standing or even going, I guess?
Well, I mean, right now, I think inflation's held down a little bit by the year-over-year base effects of crude prices, but those have diminished a lot with the recent rally in oil. But I think really, unless if we start to see some real monetary tightening going on, I could see inflation going to somewhere between 3 to 5%. In the next couple of years, and you have GDP growth at maybe 1 to 2% and they're in the same time period. I'm not saying what's going to be like the 1970s where you had double-digit inflation and a recession. That's like a more extreme. I think this is more mild stagflation, or I'd like to talk with older clients of mine, Jimmy Carter Light.
So then where does that leave the markets or investors then if it is kind of a muted stagflation, but still inflation running higher than economic growth, and economic growth really stuck in a low range?
Well, I mean, it's not particularly good for investors. If you look at historically, the best markets for investors are when inflation is low, say like 1 to 3%, and the volatility of inflation is low. Like, it doesn't change very much. And we've had throughout this upcycle in the markets very low volatility of inflation. Of course, based on the BLS numbers, inflation's been between 1 to 2.5% last 5+ years. That partially explains why the markets have done so well. I expect inflation volatility to heat up a little bit. We've seen that with the CPI and PPI numbers that came out last week, where we got a print of up of 0.6% on the PPI and on the CPI last week, and we're starting to see other costs of things start to go up, turn back up. Like, housing prices were selling off in some of the richer markets when prior to Powell's dovish guidance, but now those are starting to heat up back again. Crude prices are up from $42 to $65 a barrel since the December lows, and energy and housing combined are nearly half of the CPI index. And honestly, I think those are the two most important things to watch for those who are following inflation, because the cost to house people or to rent office space or retail space, and the cost to transport people and things will be are the things that are most likely to be passed on to the consumer. Like, if your rent is a certain amount, you can't pay wages less than that, otherwise people won't live in your city. Or if the cost of transporting stuff is too high and it takes up your margin, you're gonna have to raise prices to maintain margins or maintain profitability of your product.
So then when it comes, and you even mentioned it there, to central banks or the Fed and how they have been tinkering with monetary policy, you assume, and it does impact both of these factors, inflation and economic growth. How do you see the central banks reacting to a stagflation environment, or do they even notice that that environment is occurring?
Well, it's not severe enough for them to really notice it. And if they do, they do observe this. But basically, we've seen commentary from Fed governors Bullard, Clarida, and Evans, who have been willing to let inflation run high, because based on the Fed's PCE models, inflation's been under 2% for a long time. And so in order to maintain the 2% average, they'll let it run over 2% for a while. So they're going to be slow to react.
They are. But how concerning is that comment that you just made there, where we have heard the Fed talk about inflation running below their targets or just getting to their targets, and them even being okay if inflation started to run over their targets in the sense of averaging out those years when it was under?
Well, I think the complacency level is just not just with the Fed, and I think it's just more broader economic community is towards inflation is way too high. Like, Bloomberg Business Week released a cover of a magazine today asking if inflation is dead. You've seen a general consensus, both the right and the left, in terms of economists saying that deficits need to be bigger and there's really no risk of increasing the size of government spending or debt. And you've starting to see proposals such as modern monetary theory and universal basic income come into vogue, which would be extremely inflationary, unless if you had major tax hikes to compensate for them.
Which it doesn't seem like we're going down that road, but you are right. This modern monetary theory is all pointing towards what seems like higher inflation. How do also currencies play their role in this? Because, say, the U.S. dollar is rising, that can somewhat keep a cap on inflation, but that's also not what the central banks or even the politicians want.
Well, I think the dollar would be the biggest loser in this environment. But the problem is, against what? If the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England and the ECB continue to be just as dovish, if not more dovish, than the Fed on a relative basis, then the dollar's not going to go down. It might even go up on the dollar index. So for those who are bearish on the dollar, shorting the dollar index is not really particularly a good idea.
So does that mean we're seeing a stagflation around the world, not just in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. This is a global problem. It's not just in the U.S.
Can the globe work itself out of this problem?
The thing is there the political will for the globe to work out of this problem? I mean, it can easily be done. You just raise interest rates. But the problem is that, as I mentioned, I think, in a previous conversation with you, with the Fed, it's stuck between the rock and the hard place of, if they raise rates, that triggers higher required cap rates on all assets, and therefore depreciates asset prices and also risks defaults in various more speculative centers of the economy. But if they don't raise rates or cut rates, then you're risking inflation. So, I mean, they're kind of having a hard choice. Like, the asset markets are kind of supposed to be like the confirmation of the Fed doing a good job in recovering the economy, and also there's political factors too in this. And if that goes down, and given how sensitive the modern economy is to financial assets and to debt due to the amount of leverage in the system, the market going down could actually be a tail wagging the dog for the broader economy. And that's really the concern of the Fed.
It is, but isn't that one thing that could maybe stop or put a halt to that stagflation narrative, as if we did get finally that market correction or some sort of a recession to reset some of these metrics? I know it'd be painful, but at least maybe on the back end, we'd come out of it with a bit more opportunity for economic growth.
Well, potentially. I mean, if it depends, like if the recession is associated with massive deflation in housing and energy, which if it is, then yeah, that won't be stagflation anymore. That's just a deflationary bust. But that's not really the outcome that central bankers are trying to target, because their job is to smooth the business cycle, not extend.
Well, they've definitely extended that business cycle for a while now, and I think that's what people are waiting for, that recession or something to happen with that business cycle. How long do you think they can keep that ball rolling, though? I know it's a tough question to ask, but overall, these central banks, I think, have managed to keep the ball rolling much longer than a lot of people thought. And even this week, we started to get better data out of China. We are even seeing yields rise a bit more in Europe. There seems to be, at least right now, a little reprieve of this negativity around global economies.
Honestly, I do not know the answer to that question. I mean, I thought it would have, this bubble would have busted years ago, to be quite frank. But I mean, it basically, they can keep going until inflation gets out of control, even with their numbers. Like, if you start to see CPI printing at 3.5-4%, and you, they're going to either have, they're going, the market's going to react whether the Fed hikes or not, because inflation erodes the bottom line of profitability of companies, because you can't pass 100% of the costs on to the consumer. You can pass a fraction of them, but if you don't pass all of the entire cost of inflation on to the consumer, that's going to hit you with falling margins.
Yeah, boy, is it ever. You're absolutely right on that. So then in terms of your research then, and I completely agree with you, it's impossible to tell when the Fed or when the central banks will kind of lose control of being able to keep this ball rolling. How do investors stay at least somewhat protected and still able to, I guess, take part in some of the gains that we're seeing?
Well, I mean, given how low volatility is, the best way to probably do that is via the options market. You basically cap your downside risk with the premium you've paid, but you continue to get upside if things continue to keep going more extreme valuations. Or you catch the turn if you're more bearish with puts, both defining your risk. So, yeah, I mean, with the volatility at current levels, I think the best way to do that is have a small portion of your portfolio either used as options to speculate on upside or to hedge your existing long assets.
Well, I know a lot of people still trying to pick that top in the market, but a lot of people that are still thinking that that run that started to happen on Christmas or at Boxing Day, I guess, it's taken further than a lot of people thought. And there are some shorts that have definitely got squeezed during this run. Nick, it's great chatting with you. Some interesting concepts on stagflation and where it stands, not just in the U.S., but around the world, and how central banks, it seems like they're just trying to keep that ball rolling, which leads us further and further down this stagflation-light scenario. Nick, great chatting with you. If anybody wants more information on Nick, his investment group, the Davos Investment Group, or his research from Davos Platinum Research, please email me directly at fleck@kereport.com, and I am happy to put you in front of the team around Nick. Nick, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.